folks. I got other stuff to talk about. We're going to move on here. I was going to move on right now, but then I happened to come across this post. No, we'll just cover it. This is a truth post from Donald Trump. He says, "I've always been a big fan of Tim Cook." Why? Who would be a big fan of Tim Cook? What? Okay. Like, I don't know. It's just weird, man. It's like, I don't know. It's weird. That's a weird thing to say. It's like being a band, being a fan of like a Beatles cover band. Like, what? He's just pretending to be the real genius who came before. Sorry, let's not get distracted. "I've always been a big fan of Tim Cook." Okay, weird. "And likewise, Steve Jobs. But if Steve was not taken from the planet Earth so young and ran the company instead of Tim, the company would have done well, but nowhere near as well as it has under Tim." Jesus Christ. "For me, it began with a phone call from Tim at the beginning of my first term. He had a fairly large problem that only I, as president, could fix." Hey, kind of like Alex. That's kind of like Alex Jones. You know, Alex had a pretty big problem that you as president could have fixed. Only, you know, he didn't spend the preceding 4 years manipulating the giant corporation that he runs to spread fake news about you and to silence your supporters. So that was the mistake Alex made, was supporting you from the beginning. But no, your vicious enemy who despises the First Amendment and literally called it a sin to allow Alex Jones on his platforms. Crazy, but that's Tim Cook's religion. He considers it a sin to allow an American to speak freely. And that's who, you know, Donald Trump was happy to help. "Most people would have paid millions of dollars to a consultant who I probably would not have known, but who would say that he knew me well. The fees would be paid, but the job would not have gotten done. When I got the call, I said, 'Wow, it's Tim Apple Cook calling. How big is that?' I was very impressed with myself to have the head of Apple calling to kiss my ass." I mean, what are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this? He's literally just like, "I'm a child. I'm a little child that even if somebody screws me over endlessly, as long as they pretend to be contrite, I fall for it. I fall right over, head over heels. I fall for the lie. Me, Donald Trump, the best, the genius." He recognized what a genius I am. And he said a few things that he knew he had to say to trick me. And boy, did he trick me. I'm easily tricked. Like, that, I mean, is that not what he's saying here? Tim Cook despises Donald Trump. He's given speeches justifying why Apple would remove entire apps off their app store just because it allowed Trump supporters to speak. Again, it's like, somebody explain this to me. Somebody explain to me why Donald Trump is embracing his bitterest enemies and rejecting his oldest supporters. Somebody make sense of this to me, because these people have not changed. And the only conclusion you can come to, Trump literally wants to be surrounded by weakness. He wants to be surrounded by sniveling, worm-like, groveling scum. As long as he gets an ego boost out of their faux contrition, their simulated humility before him, he falls for it, and he falls for it hook, line, and sinker. These people have tangibly hurt him, have worked against him in ways that they should go to jail for. But because they are the type of conniving, dishonest scum that he surrounds himself with, they play the part, they lie to him, and he guzzles it down. This is pathetic and sick, and really a genuinely horrifying reflection of who he is as a person. I want to be surrounded by strong people, not sniveling worms.
What's this?
Oh,
I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this?
I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Get wide awake with Harrison Smith live on the War Room right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, folks. This is the War Room. We're going to talk about all sorts of stuff in this hour. We're going to talk about Israel. We're going to talk about Alan Dershowitz. We're going to talk about the Dead Sea and Sodom and Gomorrah. We'll move on from dissecting the psychology, the ever-shifting and disturbing psychology of Donald Trump as revealed through his Truth Social post. We'll move on from that. I'm wondering how to introduce this next idea to you. I think I'll be tricky. I think I'll introduce it to you in a tricky way, okay? Let's go to clip number 5. Well, let me just say first, as an intro to this, like, I think if you were to ask me to name, like, one virtue that just, like, supersedes all the others, just, like, boil what is good, you know, everything down to just, like, one dichotomy, it's just truth versus falsehood. It is reality versus the lie. It's honesty versus dishonesty. That's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. Everything, everything, everything. Because, like, if you, you know, what would your life be like if you were forced to be honest all the time? Wasn't there a Jim Carrey movie like that? Liar, Liar, right? Like, what if you were in Liar, Liar? What if you were forced to, without hesitation, answer every question that was put to you? Could you do it? Would you be able to do it? People ask me how I do a 3-hour show with no teleprompter, just live off the cuff. The way I do it is I don't think thoughts that I won't say out loud. So I can just sort of go. I can just sort of say what I believe and just speak extemporaneously and not put too much thought into it and try to craft the things. I'm not being dishonest. I'm just telling you what I am actually, what I actually believe and what I actually think. And so if I thought things that I wasn't willing to express, I'd be uncomfortable. I wouldn't be able to handle that. But everybody's out there walking around thinking things that they won't say. Or, you know, deceiving people because it is a means to an end. And when you do that, you're building a house on sand when you try to establish anything on the basis of a lie. Now, this is obvious. I don't need to be telling you this. You're not children, right? You get it. But I personally have trouble even, like, fully comprehending and understanding, like, what this means to be surrounded by people that don't just lie and are dishonest, but, like, really genuinely don't see a problem with it. And, like, actually think they're being clever and smart and intelligent. And they're just lying. I want to set up this next segment with that, you know, preamble. Because we've heard a lot. We've heard a lot about the post-truth world. But I don't think anybody is ready for the reality of that, okay? Let's go to clip number 5 here. First, go to clip number 5. I'm not going to tell you what it is, one way or the other, okay? But I will explain it on the other side. So here's a clip that's going around on the internet. Let's watch. Maral, 34, survivor of sexual violence by the Iranian regime.
تیراندازی خیلی شدید من دستگیر شدم
I was arrested. They put me inside a van.
یه دونه ون منو بردن هر کدوممون گروهی
They would take us in groups of 7 to 8 women at a time to a certain room and I thought they would beat us there. They took 7 to 8 women They raped us in groups. That woman doesn't exist. That was AI. She doesn't exist. As far as I know, I was trying to look it up. That was a totally fabricated AI creation by Israel to try to portray victims of the Iranian regime that do not exist. You see there, identity protection AI avatar, they call it. But actually, it goes deeper than that. We have this story from calcalistech.com. Generative AI for good, how deepfake technology is amplifying silenced voices. So this is an initiative in Israel called Generative AI for Good. And they're talking about creating attention through viral campaigns, animating the images of women murdered by their partners. And now they're doing it for, quote unquote, women murdered by the Iranian regime that don't actually exist. Okay? You want to talk about a post-truth world? We're in it, folks. Since October 7th, the organization is also focused on amplifying the Jewish and Israeli narrative amid rising global anti-Semitism. We had a project where we were the voice of hostages of two amazing children that had been in captivity in Gaza for a long time, and we were their voice, she said. We did this project in English, but also in German, and we succeeded in increased empathy. Increased empathy. By lying. By lying and tricking people. Like, do you see what I meant with the preamble? Like, to me, the truth is supreme, above all. It doesn't matter what I want to happen. What matters is what happened. Doesn't matter what, you know, is it going to make me look like a fool? Good, make me look like a fool. I just want to know what's true. I want to know what actually happened. And at the end of the day, that's all that matters, is the truth. You strip everything else away. If you don't have the truth, you'll never solve any problems. You'll never get to the bottom of anything. It's a hopeless endeavor. With the truth, you can solve anything. You can solve everything. And this is when it gets, you know, especially things like, you know, racial problems in America. It's the only reason we have problems because of the lies, because of the deception, because of the manipulation that goes on. If we could just tell the truth about it, it wouldn't be an issue. None of this would be an issue. But we can't tell the truth about it because it hurts people's feelings, because they value something other than truth, higher than truth. They value their own immediate material well-being or their goal to create a greater Israel, whatever it may be, that's more important to them. And they don't feel ashamed in it. It's not something they're trying to get away with. It's something they're proud of in advertising and writing articles about. Yes, we create AI fake people to tell fake sob stories in an attempt to pull the heartstrings of people so they will, in real life, support the real thing that we're doing, which is murdering children. So we'll create a fake child that people will have empathy for the fake child, so they'll give support to us so we can kill the real children. This is where we are, and it's so unbelievably sickening. And these people do not care about truth, and that's the real point, is like truth is convenient to them. They will invoke it if and when it serves their purpose, but lying, truth, it's all the same to them. What serves them? What benefits them? How can they get away with something? Like, it doesn't matter to them what's true and what's not. What matters is what's useful and what's not. And that's like such a crazy mindset to try to get yourself into if you're not one of these people. And we'll explain how this is not, again, it's not just this one group doing this, this generative AI creating fake posts. Oh, to keep her safe, her face has been digitally altered. Uh-huh. Crazy. It's crazy, folks. All right, so generative AI is using deepfake technology for good by amplifying silenced voices. In other words, speaking on behalf of people they have no right to speak on the behalf of, and deliberately doing it in order to gain favor with people who don't know any better. But it goes deeper than that. This is Eli Hazan, the new director of Netanyahu's press office. He was a former Likud spokesperson. Clip number 15, here's Eli Hazan explaining Israel's new strategy moving forward in the PR war. Let's watch. I'll tell you what's happening. Truth doesn't matter anymore. Facts don't matter anymore. That's why, by the way, I wasn't always like this. I became like this. I spread fake news as a response to them. I wasn't like this. Only truth mattered to me. I wasn't interested because I reached the conclusion we need to be Trump. These people don't understand goodness. They only understand war. And you want war on social media? We'll give you a war on social media. We don't want war, you psychopaths. That's the whole issue. That's the whole problem. So again, that's the head of EU's press division just going, yeah, we lie. Yeah, we spread fake news. As if this is a response, like as if it's a defensive thing. I mean, again, it's like, okay, they're waging the Eighth Front War just like they're waging the other seven fronts of war. They'll start the fight. They'll expand the fight. They'll introduce novel, dangerous weapons to a fight, and then they'll claim that they're the aggrieved party because you respond in kind. It's outrageous and it's ridiculous. And again, he's not shy about it. He's not saying, you know, these people are lying, there's so much fake news, and we will burst through with the truth. He's saying, we're going to lie better than them. Now, the little difference is we're not lying. The anti-Israel people don't have to lie. Why would we? Why would we? A lot of times I have to downplay the truth about Israel because the truth is so insane that people won't believe it. So Israel just is insane, does crazy crap, lies about it. If you call it out for it, they claim, oh my gosh, you're fake news. I guess we have to lie too. It's just this endless cycle of deception that we're going to shatter. We're going to break it. We're not going to fall for your crap. We're not going to believe anything you ever say. And then you're going to cry and whine that we don't have empathy for you. You suck. I have empathy for you. That's why I understand that you're evil. Because empathy doesn't mean sympathy. It just means I can put myself in your mindset. And I can put myself in the mindset of a despicable scumbag liar. I can do it. I can imagine what it's like to be that person. And when I do that, I don't think, gee, I understand why he says that. I think, oh, I understand what it's like to be an evil scumbag. It's pretty simple, actually. Low IQ, evil scumbags, all the way down. Does this matter to anybody else? Does truth matter anymore? Or is this just the game that we're playing? I'm telling you, it's the same thing the left does. It's a very distinct similarity here. Where once again, you've got us just telling the truth. They insist on lying. And then they claim that they're only lying because we're lying when really we're just telling the truth. It's you can establish what the truth is and just pursue that relentlessly. I think people around the world would appreciate that and come over to that side. But it turns out we're being like, there's like an ever increasing amount of our population that thinks this is fine and clever and good. That literally walk into a neighborhood where people have their bikes unlocked, sitting out on their porch, and kids are running around with no supervision. Dogs are off leash, just having a good time, and everything is safe and prosperous. And they think these suckers are just leaving this stuff out for me to take. These idiots don't understand that I can just take their bikes right now. And it's like, yeah, you're ruining everything. No, you don't understand like second order effects, and you're like a plague on the planet, and you suck, and we have every right to keep you out with everything that we've got, either because you're too low IQ to even understand the damage that you're doing, or because you're high IQ enough to understand it and you're doing it anyway. So you're evil. You're bad. And we shouldn't have to put up with you. Pretty simple, actually. So in this case, you don't become the head director of, you know, communications for Netanyahu without being smart. So you're just evil. You're just a very bad, bad person. But you think you're clever and you think it's like, you know, you're getting one over on everybody or something. Okay, great. You got a brand new bike. Congratulations. You really got one over on the poor little kid that doesn't have a bike anymore. You did it. But you've destroyed everything. But now we can't leave our bikes out anymore. Now we have to lock everything up. Now everything has to go away because you people think it's clever and fun to lie because you don't want to tell the truth. Because if people told the truth, everybody would hate you. That's the case with Israel. But it's a universal. It's sort of a continuum. Because we have that going on all over the place constantly. Again, and it all does boil down. Like, maybe I'm the crazy one, but I see a very similar mindset. Like, they're on the same team, whether you're talking about the thug on the corner that's just committing petty crime because he can get away with it, or the, you know, elite Israeli world controller that's lying us into a world war. Like, they're just, it's different gradations of kind of the same mindset. And it's a mindset of deception and of lies and of manipulation and of underhandedness. And at the end of the day, like, the thing that really gets my fire burning about, like, the world that we're in is just knowing that we are on this, like, increasing speed trajectory towards a world where honesty and truth just does not exist. Except in my head. And like a few very, you know, intelligent, thoughtful people can see through this stuff somehow. But literally everybody else is just awash in a world of stupidity and lies. This is terrible. This is terrible. Because we really are getting to like an idiocracy where, I mean, you know, the Alex Jones thing is kind of the best example. Anybody who looks at it, honestly, and I genuinely believe this, it's not because, and this is the thing, like, I am an honest person, I'm an honorable person. So, like, if I were to be moderating a debate, I might definitely agree on one side or the other. But if I'm the moderator, you bet your ass you're not going to be able to tell. You are not going to be able to tell which side I'm actually on. If I am in the role of moderator, I will take that role seriously, and I won't let my own personal inclinations get in the way. That's just what I think you should do. It's what I would want a moderator to do if I was debating, and this is how it works. So I'm not misconceiving of what's happened to Alex because I'm personally involved. Objectively, if anybody looks objectively at what was done to Alex Jones and InfoWars through the lawsuits, it is an objective crime. It is objectively abuse of process. It is wrong. And everybody on every side of the aisle should agree on that. Liberals supposedly don't want, you know, the government abusing people and silencing them if they're classical liberals. Conservatives obviously shouldn't want a giant cabal of Democrats to take down a right-wing voice through manipulated legal processes. Everybody should be able to see that what happened to Alex Jones is outrageous and wrong. Just like if it happened to anybody else, we would be here defending them. Because we are objective. We do love the truth. We are able to recognize threats of tyranny, threats to our liberty from all directions. Breaks my heart to know that we are growing up, that my kids are growing up in a world that the truth just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. We're InfoWars. He's Alex Jones. So truth be damned, let him be taken down. Doesn't matter if, you know, innocent people suffer, industries go down. It doesn't matter. It sucks. It honestly sucks to know that this is the world that we're going into and that it's only increasing over time with people like that or people like all these others just being relentlessly dishonest and justifying it and thinking it's clever because they get away with it because the honest people are so freaking stupid that we refuse to punish the dishonest people. Like we cannot break out of our own self-imposed one-sided respect. Like we, you know, a lot of times, like Americans, people, like we're honest. We expect everybody else to be honest. And it like, somehow people cannot get it through their minds that other people are just taking advantage of you. Very frustrating. Let's go to clip number 10 here. This is clip number 10. This is, pretty brilliant example of just like a process occurring in our world right now. Clip 10.
fucking cute this is. I was on my walk and I saw this little sign with all these little flowers. So I went home and grabbed some money, and now I'm gonna put some money in and take a little flower thing. How cute is this? Got myself some flowers. These are so freaking cute.
That stand would not last 1 minute in the ghetto. It will not last 60 seconds. It's not happening. They'll steal all the money. They'll steal all the flowers. They would tear down the stand for fun. That's how f***ed up the environment is in the ghetto. It's really sad. Because one of the biggest benefits of living in a so-called white neighborhood is that your neighbors trust you and you trust your neighbors. For example, if I leave the trunk of my car open for 1 week, nothing will be missing. Nothing's missing. In fact, one of my neighbors would contact me to inform me that, hey, your trunk is open. Would you like for me to close it for you? I'd be like, sure. They'll close it. End of discussion. Nothing's missing in my car. This is the difference between many so-called white neighborhoods and so-called black neighborhoods. These types of stands would not last 1 damn minute. Sad.
You know, the interesting thing about so-called white neighborhoods is that they're white neighborhoods. You know, this is funny. He's like, these so-called white neighborhoods. Oh, what, you mean the neighborhoods filled with white people? Why are they called white neighborhoods? Because it's all white people in them? Okay. So what you're saying is that white neighborhoods are filled with honest people that will not take advantage of vulnerabilities? Because that's what that is. That little stand with the flowers, with the jar of money, saying, please take it. That's a vulnerability. That's a big glaring chink in the armor. That's what makes life worth living. That's why it's beautiful. That's why people want to go to those neighborhoods. Only now the people going to those neighborhoods, for some reason, can't make the connections that guy just did and just think these suckers, I'll just steal these flowers, and then they just think they'll be there tomorrow and they'll get to steal them again and somebody will replace it. It's just like magical thinking. These things just exist. They're just out there somewhere. And we get to take them and destroy them and rip them up and burn them down, and then we'll be confused at where they've gone. Why don't they give them more of us? Well, wait, all of our stuff is crappy now, but all their stuff is still nice. Let's go take that. They must have stolen it from us somehow. It's this crazy, magical thing, but it all gets down to honesty and trust, because obviously, trust cannot exist without honesty. And that's what it all comes down to at the end of the day. And so we're just in a world that is increasingly suspicious and manipulative and deceptive and dishonest and disconnected with truth, which means we can't solve any of the problems that we would like to solve because we can't tell the truth about them. And those problems are only going to get bigger and more intense the longer they go unaddressed. We got to get back to truth. We got to seize onto truth like it's our life vest in this final moment, and understand that you can have your own personal beliefs, you can have your own personal views on the truth, but the truth is the truth, regardless of who believes what. And that is a fundamental distinction between us and the bad guys.
The bad guys all over the world, the EU, NATO, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Democrat Party, they all recognize InfoWars and its history since 1997, when I started the website using that name, as being probably the most devastating weapon of truth against them. And that's why they've tirelessly attacked us, censored us, and tried to shut us down. But because you stood with us as modern Paul Revere's, as true InfoWarriors, we've not only stayed on air, but we've become more effective and reached even more people, not just here, but around the world. This is 1776 Worldwide. Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com. We've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats. that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. We also have a new line promoting the 250th anniversary of the American Republic, about to show you in a moment. But these are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. Again, we the people, that means you and I, literally are the InfoWars. We are the eyes and ears on the ground. We are the people engaged in the fight to awaken humanity and seeing giant successes. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Dozens of new limited edition shirts of the 1776 line and hats. I love this one. InfoWars. All gut, no quit. Remember all the times the last few years where they had the fake auctions and raided us and turned the electricity off and got overturned in court? Oh, we're still battling. We wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for your fight. I'm the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. And that's who we are. So if you want to get this camo classic InfoWars shirt right now at thealexjonesstore.com. A lot of these new shirts and hats are totally new designs, but a lot of them are classics, but limited edition with 1776 on the shoulder. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. And there's not just the new InfoWars 1776 line of hats. There's things like this bad boy, just real clean, classic Americana USA. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition America at 250 years old. And the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag with 250 on it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And this is just a small sampling of the designs, thealexjonesstore.com. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250, 1776 forever. Again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for your past support. And just let you know, it's up to you whether this continues on. The InfoWar lives on through you. I suggest you get some of these classic designs while you still can. This is the future. If they get shut this down, we're going to have big problems selling InfoWars named apparel. Could be your last chance to get it. Thanks for your support. Take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the true heart of America and the resistance against the globalists. God bless you all.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room, InfoWars.com, band.video. Share those links. Please do follow us on X. You may know the planned relaunch will occur on May 1st, which is about a little over a week away. So make sure you're following us on all the social media platforms so you do not miss what comes next. And there's so many things we're still wanting to get into. One of the things I think, you know, if you're wondering why you should support us at thealexjonesstore.com, I would say one of the reasons would be the fact that we really are tomorrow's news today. And it is a little bit disconcerting, unsettling, how we are often the only ones to notice certain things. So I was thinking about this with all of the talk about Tyler Robinson and his confession, and there's all this drama going on. If you're watching the Alex Jones show, you heard some of it. And the interesting thing is that right now people are learning that Robinson may not have willingly surrendered himself like we've been told in the official story. That's a little bit weird to me, because it was obvious from the beginning that it was a setup. This is really the weird thing. If you go back to like the first announcements about Tyler Robinson turning himself in, we had all of this information and I reported it at the time. I said, this doesn't sound like that he willingly went and turned himself in. It sounds like he or his dad got a call from a friend in the police department or the sheriff's office, who said, hey, they think Tyler Robinson is the guy who shot Charlie Kirk. They're going to come arrest him. It's better if you turn yourself in, because what you don't want is the SWAT team showing up to your house, kicking the door down, and something going wrong. So to, you know, stop that potential from happening, why don't you come turn yourself in? And if it's a mistake, we'll get it all cleared up. That was the official story from the beginning. So I reported at the time that this wasn't Tyler Robinson just on his own volition, just going, I did it, and going in. Or, you know, some people said that his dad like recognized the rifle and called his son and said, you have to turn yourself in. No. The official story from the beginning was that a friend of theirs went to them and said, Tyler's the guy. They're going to come arrest him. You should turn yourself in so you aren't killed in a shootout. And so he turned himself in. That's like coercion. That's like a threat. It's like a blackmail. Hey, they're going to come kill you. You better go turn yourself in. That's what actually happened. And that was reported 6 months ago. That's like kind of the weird thing, is it's like there. I've thought about covering some of the like recent releases of like the Charlie Kirk stuff. Like, if I said it all 6 months ago, nothing new has come up. If you want to find out, you know, what most people are saying right now about the Tyler Robinson trial, go back and watch my coverage from September of last year, because all of this was obvious and apparent and there for you to see. So it's that type of thing where it's like, I hope people are paying attention. I hope they're watching, because I don't have the time or the bandwidth at this point to like go through and scrub entire months of video to, you know, find the parts that I talked about. I just have to go, you know, like I talked about this 6 months ago. I hope people remember. I hope people watched it. And when they see it, because I see something, you know, being bombshell reveal, and I sit there going, I talked about this 6 months ago. And I just hope, I hope all the people who watch me are like, hey, Harrison talked about that 6 months ago. I hope. I really hope. Because it's a constant thing, and it's sort of, I don't know. This is one of the things I'm excited about doing with the new manifestation of InfoWars. And this is kind of another funny thing. People are mocking us because InfoWars is shutting down. Again, it's not our fault. Like, we have nothing to feel bad about. You can mock other places for going down because they fail, because nobody watches them and nobody likes them and nobody buys the things they advertise, so they go down and collapse. That's not what happened to us. This is, again, like, you know, I was saying yesterday, this is like, you know, celebrating that Maximus didn't do well in the last fight of Gladiator. It's like, well, he got stabbed in the side. So it's, you know, it wasn't actually an accurate reflection of his ability to fight when he has an arm tied behind his back. So we've had both of our arms tied behind our back, our feet cinched together, and a mask over our eyes. And we're still winning the fight, but we're not winning as much as we would otherwise. People want to mock us for that. It's like, you're not mocking us. You're just showing that you're like on the side of the evil people that use ill-gotten power to illegally disadvantage us. But all that's to say, I could not be more excited about moving on to the next step. I mean, you know, it's been great, and we have grown, and we have done incredible things. We have continued to like change the trajectory of America and you know, create worldwide headlines with what we've done here at InfoWars over the last 2.5 years. We haven't slowed down or been totally crushed by any means. But my God, do you know how much better it's going to be once we're in the new location with the, you know, we can hire crew and we can buy equipment. And I mean, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. So again, I feel like I have people online being like, it's like they're turning to me and being like, so I guess it's going to be Christmas morning in a week, huh? And I'm like, yep. Are you trying to, what do you think is happening? What do you think is happening? Because they're like, I thought you were shutting down. It's like, do you mean Christmas? Do you mean that I'm about to be free from the bankruptcy federal court oversight to actually expand and become bigger and better? Gee. Oh, no. Oh, gosh, no, please don't. I'm so excited. This studio is amazing. Luckily, the crew is all coming along. Like, we're not really losing anything. Except for the name, I guess. But, like, I'm excited. Personally, I'm very excited about what comes next. And I hope you're excited as well. And I hope you know that, like, we're going to continue to tell the truth. We're going to continue to do what we do. And people have this idea, and this has been a constant ever since the bankruptcy thing, where they're just like, so I guess Alex will be shut up from now on. Whoops. And it's like, well, no, not even a little bit. No, we're going to be just as loud, just as popular, just on now on all the same platforms. Like, no, it's just not happening. So again, the bad guys are dancing a victory celebration in La La Land imagination world. Meanwhile, in the real world, they're just like cheating, losing anyway, and giving us what we actually want. So it's actually amazing. And I just knocked my plug sheet on the ground. So I can't tell you what's on sale right now, but I do know it's probably a giant sale. It's probably some sort of gigantic, irresponsible level of discount at thealexjonesstore.com because we just can't help ourselves. That's right. It's the Last Stand Super Sale. All InfoWars products are on discount right now. Sign up for any supplement. You get a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy, two incredible products from thealexjonesstore.com. The InfoWars product fundraiser is on right now because April 30th will be it, your last chance ever to get official InfoWars products. So now the InfoWars product fundraiser is live. You're getting 20% off incredible merchandise, and it is your last chance to get exclusive InfoWars products. Support us directly and help fuel the fight in this most critical time. You can also subscribe and get 50% off your favorite supplements, plus a free bottle of Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy. And in addition to these, I'm telling you, we love piling on discounts, piling on advantages. So not only are you getting 20% off InfoWars to get your final chance to get InfoWars official branded merchandise, you're also getting 50% off if you sign up for a regular subscription of supplements, which will continue even after InfoWars shut down. Obviously, the Alex Jones Network and the Alex Jones Store are a separate entity and will continue. So you get 50% off by signing up for a subscription, plus you get either Ultimate Chill or Ultimate Energy with that. That's like three things right off the bat, two discounts and a free product. And then on top of that, you get another product, a free mystery gift with purchase. I'm not sure exactly what the mystery gift is going to be. I just know that other times we've done free gifts, it's usually things like hats, t-shirts, things that could be up to like $30, $40 in value, but no guarantees. I'm not even sure what the mystery gift is, but we don't skimp on the mystery gifts is what I'm saying. It's not like you get a mystery gift, like a sticker. Like, no, you're going to get a real thing. You're going to get something that you would actually want in the mystery gift. And that's just on top of all the other discounts, on top of all the other deals. Go today, right now, to thealexjonesstore.com. thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now, should we continue with... we just have so much to cover. I think we'll go to clip 23 here because this is really an amazing clip from friend of the show, Republic Apostle. Republic Apostle is a very good Twitter follow. I think it's just at Republic Apostle, but I'll confirm that here. Because he's, you'll see, you'll get to watch it right here. The type of guy this is and the, strength of his convictions. Here's Republic Apostle, talking about the future of the movement. Let's watch.
And during the few moments that we have, listen up, America. They've been calling us low IQ. They've said it about me. They've said it about you. And they've said it loudest about the warriors who refuse to bow. Alex Jones, Harrison Smith, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Well, guess what? We are low IQ, and we're proud of it. We're the low IQ truck drivers, welders, nurses, farmers, moms, dads, and veterans who still believe that a man is a man, a woman is a woman, America is worth saving, and that we shouldn't be over in Iran fighting Israel's wars. We're the low IQ patriots who don't need a Harvard degree to see that open borders are an invasion, that boys don't belong in girl sports, and and that printing trillions of dollars doesn't make us rich. They have their Ivy League genius, but we've got common sense, and right now common sense is kicking their ass. Alex Jones screamed the truth when the rest of the media called him crazy. Harrison Smith stayed on air while the censors tried to erase him. Candace Owens walked away from the machine. She didn't look back. Tucker Carlson got fired for telling the truth, and then he built an even bigger platform. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, she walked into the swamp with a smile on her face and a flamethrower in her hand. They called every single one of them low IQ, and every single one of them is still standing, still fighting, still winning. Because here's the little dirty secret that the elites don't want you to know. You don't need a high IQ to know when you're being lied to. You just need a spine. They stole our elections. They censored our voices. They mocked our God, our guns, our families, our flag. They told us that we're garbage. And what did we do? We stood up. We voted harder. We built parallel economies. We started our own media. We took over school boards. We flipped the House. We flipped the Senate. And in 2028, we're taking it all back. So go ahead, keep calling us low IQ, keep sneering, keep underestimating the American people. Because every time you do, another million patriots wake up, load up, and get louder. We are the Low IQ Rebellion. We are an unstoppable force, and we are the future. And we're coming back for our country, locked and loaded. The comeback starts right now. We're not just going to win. We're going to win so much, you're going to be tired of winning. And this is our country. This is our moment, and we're taking it back.
I love it. Absolutely love it. That's Republic Apostle. Follow him on X at Republic Apostle. Really greatly appreciate that attitude, that energy, that, you know, just principled, forward-looking stance. Because, you know, we're not getting black-pilled here. We are understanding the forces that we're up against, or maybe even greater than we thought, really, at the end of the day. Or at least more willing to behave more recklessly than we originally thought. That might be a good way of putting it. Because again, we expect people to be, you know, their behavior to be moderated by some sort of, you know, sense of concern about like getting caught in their criminal activity, but like they are just going full mask off at this point, and it's entirely up to us to bring it all back. And on that note, it's not that hard. It's really not hard to bring it all back. It's actually, I would argue harder to keep the situation as it is right now, like significantly harder. For example, we played the video in the last segment of the woman walking around, you know, showing that instead of a lemonade stand, little kids in her neighborhood did a flower stand and just left a jar of money out and asked people to contribute, and she did. And, you know, the question is, how do you maintain that? How do you maintain that? Because it only takes one person to destroy it. It takes everybody in that neighborhood to go along with it. It takes one person to ruin it. And once that one person ruins it, it's ruined. Because people have to respond to that. You know, it's the story I'm told in a while, but I always used to tell it about the, I think it was the Golden State Killer, if I'm not mistaken, but it was one of those serial killers in the 80s in California. And a woman who, in a documentary, is giving an interview about it, and she's talking about how her grandmother refused to lock the door. And the woman's going, "Mom, you gotta lock, there's a prowler going around, he's killing people, he's going into houses, you gotta lock your door." And the mom said, "I don't want to live in a country where I have to lock my door because I don't trust my neighbors." And it's like, well, you too bad. You do. You do. The grandmother didn't lock the doors and was killed that night by the Golden Gate Strangler, Golden whatever it is. She was killed. She was murdered. And so it's like, you know, it only takes one. It takes one person. Suddenly the whole neighborhood's got to lock their doors. The whole neighborhood's got to put locks around their bike. The whole neighborhood has to tell their kids, "Hey, sorry, that stand you worked so hard on, it got knocked over and destroyed. Probably not worth it to try it again, huh? They're just going to knock it over and destroy it again, so maybe do something less productive." It only takes one. So how do you maintain it? You maintain it, actually, to reference back to Camp of the Saints, like a walled garden. You have to have a wall. You have to have barriers. You have to have the ability to expel people that do not have the moral character to behave. It's really not hard. And it's actually shocking that we can't figure this out. I saw there was a headline earlier this week, or maybe last week, and it was about a new top of the line, like light rail. I think it was built in San Francisco, but the headline was like, the light rail makes it 6 hours before its first overdose death. And it's about this new stop of the light rail not even being open for a full day before there was a death due to overdose at the location. And it's like, doesn't that sort of tell you how disjointed and disoriented our entire society is? That we simultaneously have the ability to create like top of the line, high technology, you know, light rail trains, and then we're building it for people that are just overdosing on heroin in it. And it's like, what are we doing here? Like, it seems like you should have one or the other. It seems weird that we have both. Seems like if we can figure out the technology and societal organization to build huge infrastructure projects with advanced technology, seems like we'd also be able to apply some of that critical thinking to the problem of our citizens killing themselves and our country through drugs. It seems like we should be able to handle this, but that's like that headline's been been just like sticking with me for a while, because it's just, there's something very illustrative about that. And we can build this incredible new train so people can like do drugs and grope women on it, you know? And so there's a normalcy bias. There's a frog boiling the pot mentality going on in America right now. And there's a willing blindness from a lot of people to simply accept what's going on in our country as if it's inevitable, as if it can't be stopped, as if it's a force of nature that just has to be content. You know, we have to just contend with it rather than attempt to change it. Crime, failure, abuse. These are not hurricanes. These are not tornadoes. These are not things that we just have to put our head under the ground and try to survive. These are things that have causes and that have solutions. Behavior has incentives and disincentives. And so much of what is done in our criminal justice system today, nowadays, is off this. Again, I can't figure out how to like really quantify it, but it's like they've got theories about things that might work that anybody with a brain in their head knows will never work. But we seem compelled to try these things out, have them fail, and then double down on them endlessly when they never work for anybody. I don't know why. Because on the flip side, we have example after example after example of the opposite strategy being taken, and it succeeds wildly for everybody. Because then the question becomes, let's say you have a neighborhood that was nice, the little kids put out little bouquet stands and everybody loved each other, and then a criminal moves in. All right, that one criminal might shatter the peace of everybody, but maybe not. Let's say there's five criminals. Let's say like a couple houses get flipped, a couple families move in, and suddenly there's a crime problem. Not only does that mean your quality of life goes down, you can no longer take advantage of the liberty of your country, because that's what liberty really is. Liberty is the ability to like put your kid out on the street and say, come back at sundown. To, you know, let your daughter go walk to the store to buy something for herself and never have to worry if she's never going to come back again or going to get hit by a drunk driver. Or like, if you don't have the liberty to walk to the corner store at 2 a.m. and buy something without being in fear for your life, then you're not free. You're a prisoner in your own home. So liberty goes down. Freedom goes down overall, just because, you know, like the people in Memphis. The interview we played a couple months ago when Trump first sent down the National Guard there, and the woman said, I can finally let my kids play in our own backyard now. Your own backyard? If you can't play in your own backyard because it's not safe, you're not free. Freedom requires peace, peace of mind, trustworthiness, trust. You can't have peace, you can't have liberty without these things. Okay, so family of criminals moves in, several criminals' family moves in, because obviously the house prices go down once you have a criminal population. So people want to get out before more criminals move in. It's called blockbusting. It's actually a strategy that realtors developed during the civil rights movement. And so things just start to get worse. But really what happens is all of the tax money that either wasn't being collected because it wasn't needed or was going towards improvement and projects that better the society, you know, because when I go to Japan, right, I saw a sanitation worker on his hands and knees with a little brush scrubbing the one tile in the subway that was scuffed. That's what you can do when you aren't constantly just trying to keep the boat afloat. Instead of like constantly being overwhelmed with a backlog of crimes and criminality, new crimes constantly being committed, and you're just trying to capture the guys committing the crimes while the guys that commit the last crime are getting away, it's like it's chaos. But if everything's fine and you're sitting there going, I guess I'll take care of this thing over here, I guess I'll go above and beyond. I guess I'll do a little extra now. So instead of taxpayer money going towards repairing the sidewalk or, you know, creating, you know, community events for the families to enjoy, now you're having to pay for police. Now you're having to pay for the detectives to come and investigate the crime. And you're having to pay for the lawyer for the criminal because they get to defend themselves. And you got to pay for the public prosecutor to try to do it. And the judge obviously is going to let the person out. So, you know, you've paid all of this money. You've had your peace destroyed. You've had the government become more powerful and more, you know, more interference on your personal life. And at the end of it, the criminal's just still on the street, still victimizing you. And so it's a compounding effect. It's not the case where you can just have one thing go bad and it stops there. Everything, like every act of criminality, starts a snowball rolling down a hill that consumes resources and joy and life. And it's just, it's endless and forever unless you stop it. Unless you stop it from ever coming in, or you deal with it so harshly that it serves as a barrier to anybody who wants to do it in the future. Because they think, gee, the last guy that did that got his hand chopped off. I think I'll leave the flower stand alone. Now, we don't need to be chopping off hands, but we have modern versions of that that we should be employing. And in some cases, they have been employed. And I'll show you on the other side the overwhelming success that this has led to. All over the country, we're finding that the bare minimum application of law solves every problem across the board. It's amazing. It's obvious. And we're not doing it because liberals are retarded.
So, CIA declassified documents last week, Operation Artichoke, to poison vaccines, food supply, and the water to dumb us down and make us controllable. Now, new documents about ESP control, how we're really electrochemical systems, liquid crystals, and the pineal gland, and how most people have microscopic to actual large worm infestations, not just from cats, you name it, like Kennedy has one in his brain, and they didn't tell the public most cancer, breast cancer, brain cancer is worms. Ladies and gentlemen, you can look it up, go to the UN's own website, they admit it. Over 2 billion people have cognitive disabilities because they do not have enough iodine. In the 20s, they found this house where it put in the salt. IQs went up about 20 points on average, 15, 20 points. Well, we have the very best atomic iodine in the world. Has been available in several years, ladies and gentlemen. But we have the original X2 back, but even stronger, pure atomic. Atomic isn't radioactive. It means it's on the periodic table. It is absolutely pure. And I mix that with ultramethylene blue that is also on record good for your pineal gland and reversing the calcification, the rest of it. Well, we've got the best methylene blue. And I just mixed the iodine with the methylene blue with this water. I'm going to drink this, and this is pure rocket fuel. So good for your body. Essential iodine with methylene blue together is amazing. Pretty scary looking, too. So, by the way, the new product is supposed to be available right now at thealexandershore.com is T3. It's X2 back even better at thealexandershore.com. So for all the fans that wanted it, everybody that wanted to get it, we have had it for over a year. It is back, reborn, like the Phoenix, even stronger. Exclusively available through our sponsor, thealexandershore.com. But regardless, our methylene blue, our iodine is the best, and it does so many other things. Libido, stamina, energy, and they go together like a horse and carriage. Get them both now. There's also another big sale as well at thealexandershore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.